feisty, fearless, and fair. She's an Emmy-winning journalist from the White House to war zones, telling all sides of the story. This is The Rita Cosby Show.
Lovely Rita, meet a maid. Nothing can come between us. When it gets dark, I tow your heart away. Standing by a parking meter.
And tonight on The Rita Cosby Show, wow, 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 boy, are we in trouble. And the more I see what's going on in the world, and the more I'm seeing President Biden in action or lack thereof, I'm just shaking my head. And I'm wondering also, what is going on with the rest of the media, too? Because if they're there at the White House and they're asking questions of the president and it all looks pre-scripted and even the answers look scripted, why aren't the media kind of coming forward and going, you know what, this is not the way it's supposed to work? In America, the press is supposed to be free. The press is supposed to be fearless. They're supposed to be able to ask anything they want. This is not like China or Russia, where you're not allowed to ask a question of one of the leaders, or it's like, yes, you may ask the leader, the high leader of Holy High, you may ask him a question and he may answer you with the exact script. And if you ask anything else, well, we give you the firing squad. That's what happens in some of these countries. That's not America. And in fact, I've been there in the White House press corps, guys, where I've been asking many a questions with many a president. And I can't think of a single time where somebody said to me, hey, Rita, you can only ask this question and he's going to have his pre-scripted answer and you can't even act shocked when he gives you the answer. That's how I felt today when I was watching today President Biden, and there he is. And he is with the leader of Japan. And first off, they go into a meeting, you know, and they do the Oval Office meeting. And the first thing I hear out of this president is he starts talking about Ukraine, which I found just odd given all the news that's been going on in the world where he's been blasting Israel left and right and blistering Israel left and right. But then afterwards, they do a joint press conference. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, how is this going to go? Because the president is clearly micromanaged. He clearly is trying to duck reporters every which way but loose. It's only like a few friendly reporters that every now and then he does an interview with. And he did one recently with Univision. We're going to get to that in a moment because there were a couple doozies in there where he threw Israel under the bus and, of course, blames all his woes on the Republicans. But then he gets to the part where they have their little speech, and the whole time he's looking down at his cue cards, and it's like, hello, my name is President Joe Biden. How are you today? I'm with the leader of Japan. Hello, press corps. Hello there, press corps. I mean, it's really frightening just to watch what we're seeing in real time and melting down in real time. And then he gets to the point where it's supposed to be the, quote, unscripted questions, where it's supposed to be, hey, I'll take anybody in the room. Let me just pick somebody randomly, and they can pick a random topic to ask the leader of the free world. And boy, there's a lot of questions to ask right now, specifically about the border, about Israel, about a whole bunch of this stuff. And then they go into what deserves, I think, maybe a bad acting. I was going to say an Emmy or an Oscar or something, but not really, because it wasn't even that good. It was so blatant. It was so obvious. And you see the president of the United States, he is like clinging to his cue cards for the life of him. And then he's also reading the names on the thing. Okay, well, let me see my list of who I'm supposed to call, who my staff basically tells me I need to call. Let me go to that. And then as he's also looking down, then he gets to the person, and then he's looking down, reading the answer, and then reading off the cue card for the answer. What has happened to the American media? Have they lost their cojones? Have they lost their morals? Because I have never been in a White House press gaggle, and I've been in many where they have said, you're only going to ask this, you can't ask anything else, and we're going to ask you to basically submit your questions beforehand and have them pre-scripted. and we're going to tell you who he's going to call. That's not the way it's supposed to work. Sometimes there's decorum. Sometimes you pick somebody who's the more seasoned journalist or go to that one. When I was there, even in the very early days, remember Helen Thomas? She had been there forever. She had been there, you know, since I think it was LBJ or JFK, I think she even covered. And during that time, of course, when I came in and I was there during especially the Clinton days and after that, too, as well, George W. Bush. But especially at that point, they kind of did. Okay, here we're going to go to her first. Then we're going to go to the others. Then we're going to. But everything else was not scripted. I mean, Clinton would take any question. George W. Bush. Certainly Trump. My goodness, are you kidding me? Even Obama. I have never seen a president where it is so micromanaged and they won't even let him say a single word. And guess what? I guess I don't blame them because he keeps going off script. So it's pretty scary that we have a president who's doing this. How is he going to make it to the debates? How's he going to make it if he gets reelected? If he's like having trouble, he was kind of walking around with the Japanese prime minister dazed. And then again, he's reading every single word on a card. To me, there is something really wrong, not just with this president, but there's also something wrong with the sycophants, I guess, at the White House press corps. That they don't say, wait a minute, this is not acceptable. That these terms are not acceptable by us. They should kind of jointly all work together and say, we're going to boycott. Because in America, we have freedom of press. We don't have, you know, the Russian Duma press, you know. We don't have the Chinese yen press. We can do whatever we want to do in America and we can ask anything. He can obviously not answer if he doesn't want to or answer it however he wants to answer it. But to act like everything has to be micromanaged and scripted, it just makes him look pathetic and it makes the American media look pathetic. What are your thoughts, guys? It's 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. And here is the moment, you got to hear this, where he's like, who should I call on? And here's the answer. This is painful. This is the leader of the free world. Listen to this one.
Third, next question, who I call on next. Hang on a sec. I got my list here. Hang on. I apologize. Aurelia of AFP.
And I love the little birds chirping in the background. Even the birds are going, Mr. President, it's a little too obvious that everything is micromanaged. That is a frightening, frightening moment. And no wonder there's so much on the line. You could just tell that they're looking at the poll numbers like we're looking at the poll numbers. And even Democrats are saying they are deeply concerned about this president, his mental acuity, his ability to govern, his coherency. And also, you look at what's going on, inflation going up again. Now there's word that there may not be any interest rate cuts. Prices are going through the roof. If you go to a grocery store, you fill up your gas tank, we all feel it. And then we've got the world on fire. We've got Israel. We have everything that's happening with Russia and Ukraine. And of course, he's throwing Israel under the bus. And Ukraine, he never took Putin to task. And he still has not even fulfilled all the sanctions against Russian oligarchs and others. And with Iran, guess what? They're selling oil left and right. They are making so much money that they're able to use all that money that they're making on oil sales, laughing all the way to the bank. And now Israel's waiting for likely an imminent attack. How is the world safer under this president? There are so many issues. And then what about the southern border? Today was supposed to be the day that the articles of impeachment were supposed to be walked over from the House to the Senate side. And guess what happened on the Senate side? They realized, well, they don't even have two Democrats. That's all they need. Two Democrats who would vote to have an impeachment hearing on Mayorkas. Two. That is it. There are not two Democrats who even think that maybe his handling of the border, his wide open border with 10 million people crossing and with hundreds of thousands of people dying from fentanyl. that they're not saying, maybe we should have a hearing and talk about this with the American public. Maybe this deserves the attention. And yet, they don't have it right now. And that's why they delayed the hearing today, the walkover. And they were all ready. The House was ready to walk over the articles and say, listen, if there's ever somebody who needs to be impeached and needs to be removed from office, it is Alejandro Mayorkas. And they were going to officially walk over their articles to the Senate side. And then at least, even if at the end of the day, they weren't going to get him removed because it's a Democratic Senate, they thought at least they would at least have some sort of a trial, some sort of a hearing where at least the American public could hear all sides of the story. I don't think, you know, the facts speak for themselves. But what is Mayorkas afraid of? What are the Democrats afraid of? That they would not even do a trial. And so that's why the Republicans have waited. They have waited and waited because they said maybe if we wait a few more days, we can somehow try to convince maybe one or two Democrats, especially those in swing districts, maybe they might agree to have at least a trial. That is unconscionable. You think about January 6th, all the hearings, all the different trials, all the impeachment trials against President Trump, like it was like thrown out like candy. And yet here is Mayorkas, and we've had a wide open southern border. We've had so many problems of human smuggling and so many issues that are taking place. And yet to this moment, there aren't even two Senate Democrats that are agreeing to even consider some sort of impeachment trial, even if it's like a show trial for them. Because I don't think at the end of the day it's going to do anything, sadly, in terms of kicking him out, because the numbers just aren't there. But why would they not want to at least show the American public that they care about American national security, that they care about the border? They won't even do that. And that's why they delayed it a few days. They decided, okay, let's see, maybe we can present it on Monday. And maybe between now and Monday, we can find two Democrats that are in the Senate of good conscience, and maybe we can convince them to do some sort of an impeachment trial. And maybe we can have some luck at that point. They've held this for this long. They've waited this long. They have decided that they were going to do it today. And then suddenly Chuck Schumer comes out and shows his cards and says, we're planning on dismissing it. We're not even going to entertain it. That's the way that they are looking at the border on the Democratic side. To me, that speaks volumes. It says they don't care what the American public thinks, that they don't care that the border is wide open, because they know darn well what's going to come out in even a shortened, even a very brief, some sort of a trial. It would clearly show that there has been dereliction. It would clearly show that there are so many illegals crossing into the border, so many people being trafficked, kids, tens of thousands that are missing. There's 85,000 kids that are missing, and they don't know where they are. So you got all these issues, and yet they won't even allow any sort of a trial. And that, to me, speaks volumes. So let's see where this goes. No wonder President Biden doesn't want to answer a lot of questions. He's just hoping to do the old basement strategy like he did last time. And he's going to be doing the same strategy of going after President Trump. Take a listen. Here he is in this Univision interview. And this is when he was asked, like, what are the biggest threats to the world right now? Is it Russia? Is it China? Is it this? Is it that? And nope. Guess what he said is the biggest threat? Take a listen to our president.
What, in your view, constitutes the primary threat to freedom and democracy at home?
Donald Trump. Seriously. Donald Trump uses phrases like, you're going to eviscerate the Constitution. He's going to be a dictator on day one.
That is such hogwash. The biggest threat is Donald Trump, not Hamas, not Vladimir Putin, not the border, not any of those things. It's Donald Trump. That says it all, that he is so out of touch with the American people. No wonder he has to look at his cue cards. 1-800-848-9222. And we'll take your calls when we come back. You're listening to The Rita Cosby Show.
The Rita Cosby Show. It's the Rita Cosby Show.
Well, we got to rock the White House. I'm telling you, this president is clinging to cue cards and the media is allowing it. And then with a straight face, he said, oh, the biggest threat in the entire world is Donald Trump. Not Hamas, not all these other things. It's Donald Trump. It's a MAGA hat to him. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Al. Al, your thoughts about all this. This is amazing.
Yeah, it really is, Rita. You know, Rita, like you rightly pointed out, you know, as president or vice president, you always got to take the tough questions. That's the way it's always been by Joe Biden's predecessors. And I remember back in 1988 when then Vice President George Bush was running for president, he was ambushed by Dan Rather in an interview, and he gave it back to him and more. So you got to be able to take it. And that's what the people, the general public, expect.
Yeah, and you know what? If you are the president of the United States, which I really contend is like the most important leadership position in the world, you better be able to answer a question. I mean, it makes me like frightened to think of if they're sheltering him from a reporter's question, what else are they sheltering him from? Because there's a lot more scary things out there than some of the liberal media, especially that throw softballs at him, Al. I mean, that's what's astounding to me. Your thoughts?
I agree with you, wholeheartedly. I mean, it's never been that way. You know, his predecessors, they were asked tough questions and they would, be expected to answer them. And, like you said, you would be in the press room there and the president would, have to answer those questions.
Yeah, by the way, if it came out that, he's like deciding which order and he's being pre-scripted, pre-screening, we would have done a story on it. That's how like outrageous what we're seeing now as sort of common practice under this president. But it just shows that they don't trust him. And also, he is so feeble.
Cosby is on. The Rita Cosby Show presents Back the Blue.
And this Back the Blue segment is sponsored by GoyaCares.com because you are a precious gift from God. And be sure to check out Goya Cares. They do so much to combat human trafficking and also to instill the great values of faith and family. Check out GoyaCares.com. And this powerful story coming from Springfield, Massachusetts, where the reopening of a cafe in Springfield this week marked a very special day for the owner, who was recently honored as the ultimate hero for saving the lives of two city police officers back in 2022. Pedro Perez is well known in the city for his heroic acts of bravery that helped save the lives of those two members of law enforcement. It was 2 days after Christmas back in 2022 when Perez noticed two officers struggling with an armed suspect following an armed robbery at a nearby store. Police said that the suspect had grabbed one of the officers' service pistols and began shooting at them. Perez immediately jumped out of his car and he helped the officers detain the suspect and even had a bullet actually go through his own sweatshirt. Perez said he still thinks about that chilling day and how grateful he is that everyone made it through unharmed. He said it's a reminder of, you know, what happened that day and that all of us might not be here. And by the way, Perez has been honored by a whole bunch of different groups, including receiving the Carnegie Hero Award. He's been mentioned in numerous publications. And when his cafe reopened, the mayor was there, local representatives, other ones as well, and of course, many members of the police department. Bravo to him, and also bravo to the great work that our police officers do every single day. And of course, it's also thanks to great citizens like Pedro Perez. Well, we could certainly use a lot more law enforcement at our border. We were talking about President Biden and his scripted questions and scripted answers and his fumbling and bumbling today as he's with the Japanese prime minister. And in the middle of it all, too, he had just done an interview with Univision. This was an incredible moment. That's where he was blasting Trump, saying he's the biggest threat. But also in the Univision interview, he also blames Trump for the border once again. Listen to this one.
How do you propose to fix what is arguably the most polarizing issue in American politics today?
Well, first of all, the first piece of legislation I introduced as president was related to the border. First one. I wanted to make sure everything from Dreamers had a path to citizenship all the way to providing for enough border security people to orderly handle the border, to allow legal immigration and prevent illegal immigration. We're in a situation where, for example, we don't have enough officers to maybe interview people to discern whether they have a legitimate fear or concern to qualify to come in. We don't have enough people at the border. We don't have enough Border Patrol people. We don't have enough machinery that we can detect fentanyl and illegal drugs coming in. It's all there. And so what happened? We worked this with a very conservative Republican from Oklahoma, the senator, came along and he ran on one side and Democrats on the other side. And they worked for 4 months and they came up with a proposal. It didn't have everything I wanted. I told them I'm going to go back and get Dreamers, and et cetera. But the thing it did do, it provided for significant more personnel to make an orderly transfer and allow legal immigration to increase, not decrease, and diminish illegal immigration. What happened was when Trump found out that I liked it and I supported it and I'd get, quote, credit for it, he got on the phone, not a joke, checked with the Republicans and called them and said, don't be for it, it'll benefit Biden. When the hell would you vote on a major piece of legislation based on whether you benefit somebody as in politics?
Why would you ever vote for a bill that allows up to 5,000 illegal migrants to cross on a single day? Right now, sometimes there's 10, sometimes there's 12,000 that are crossing in a single day. Why would you codify just half of them? Why shouldn't it just be, hey, we'll try to make it zero? You're allowing for half of the illegal immigration. And that's after now anywhere from 10 to 12 million have come into our country so far under this president. And also not to mention all the human trafficking and the fentanyl and all that. Why would you just say, yeah, you know what? We're only going to rob the bank halfway. That doesn't seem like a legitimate answer. But yet he's blaming Trump. Trump said, don't do it because it's not securing the border. It's only a half measure. It's not even a half measure. It's barely a measure whatsoever. Make sure you get something tougher that really does protect the border. That's what presidents are supposed to do. And you know that Biden knows he's in trouble because there is word, and in that same interview, he signaled that he's looking into maybe some executive action at the southern border. Finally, finally, everybody thought he was going to do it during the State of the Union. He didn't do it. He couldn't even remember Lake and Riley's name there, who, of course, that Georgia nursing student who was brutally murdered by the Venezuelan migrant. So he couldn't even remember her name, didn't even do the executive order at that point. Here it is, weeks later. Does it really show that he cares in any sense? Maybe it's because the election is coming a little closer and he's seeing that border and obviously huge issues with migrant crime and other things like that, that they are topping the list of voters' concerns and people are saying they're fed up. They can't take it anymore. That they are just so downright frustrated that it's top of the list. Almost every single poll of what is your biggest concern? And of course, Biden tanks on it. Trump excels when it comes to who do you believe is going to handle the border better in the polls. And so he's saying, yo, God, just like throwing Israel under the bus because he's trying to appeal to some of the far left of his party, he also is going, well, wait a minute. It looks like a lot of people with common sense, no matter whether they're Republican or Democrat, are concerned about the border. So not that he should do it for securing our homeland purposes. God forbid that. No, it's like, okay, maybe I should do it because it's a political year and maybe it's going to help me in the polls. And so you know it's coordinated because it wasn't just him. So today, Alejandro Mayorkas, who remember, could have been in the process of having an impeachment trial started if the Democrats had a spine. Well, Alejandro Mayorkas, instead, he was testifying on Capitol Hill. He had a hearing in the Senate side, and then he had a hearing on the House side. And now Biden is suggesting again that he might do some sort of executive action. Remember, he lifted all of Trump's in executive actions. He lifted Remain in Mexico that would have kept people in Mexico. He lifted the Title 42. He lifted all of these different provisions that were securing the border. So he could change it in 5 seconds. He just doesn't want to. But if he does do it now, it is so transparently political as opposed to sincere. And also, Mayorkas today, I couldn't believe I heard him say this. This is a doozy. Here he is on Capitol Hill, and he actually sort of sounded like a Law and Order guy, I think, for the first time in 3+ years. Listen to this one, which is what he should have said from day one.
Look, I want states to work with, I want state and local law enforcement to work with ICE. We did in my jurisdiction when I was sheriff in Jacksonville. We had a great 287G program, and that's a fantastic program. And in fact, I'm not the only one that thinks that. Last year, acting director of ICE, Ty Johnson, told this committee that the 287G program, and I'll quote, is the best thing since sliced bread because it acts as a force multiplier. So my question for you very quickly is, do you agree with the director's assessment of the 287G program? And if so, what are you doing to expand it?
Congressman, the public safety and security of this country is our highest priority. Congressman, if you'll allow me, I believe that when an individual poses a threat to public safety or national security, a local or state jurisdiction should cooperate with Immigration and Customs Enforcement for the swift detention and removal of that individual.
So you didn't answer my question. Do you think 287G program is a good program, and will you work with us to expand it?
Congressman, I continue to believe that 287G, when executed properly, is a force multiplier for our enforcement efforts.
Is that a yes?
As I said, when it is executed properly, it is a force multiplier for our enforcement efforts.
You can't get a straight answer out of this guy.
Yeah, I was like, what is that word salad? I need a translator on that one. Because, boy, was that that makes circle back sake look like a straight ahead sake. That was amazing. But that was Congressman John Rutherford from Florida saying, can you explain that? But at one point he did say that if an individual poses a threat, that they should work with ICE to remove them, that state officials should step in, which is the first time we've ever heard him even sound like state officials should somehow coordinate with ICE. Usually it's been like, oh, sorry, that's not appropriate to do to these nice people committing crimes in America. Sorry, we can't do that. Sorry. So you could tell that the tide is definitely turning, or they're seeing the same polls that we all are. 1-800-848-9222, 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Thomas, line 5. Thomas, your thoughts about all this.
Yeah, Rita, I mean, I don't think we're ever going to get any help from, because if they step out of line, they're just run out of town on a rail.
Now, we lost you there. Who do you think you won't get help from?
The Democrats. I mean, if they're considering articles of impeachment, I mean, anybody other than maybe a Joe Manchin, they will not step out of line. They're the ultimate power corrupts ultimately, and they're just going to go the Democrat agenda all the way, and we're in a bad place. As far as the border goes, we need more Texas and more Florida. They had to secure their own border because the feds are never going to do it. They got to do it themselves. That's the only way we're going to secure this nation, Rita.
Yeah, and you know what's a sad situation? And then when Texas tries to do it, then the Biden administration takes them to court. I mean, you can't make it up. Texas finally says, hey, forget it. And in fact, I was talking with Abbott, Governor Abbott, last week at lunch, and he was saying, yeah, we're trying to do this. But every time he tries to do anything, the Biden administration challenges him and says, oh, no, it's the federal responsibility. And then he looks at them and says, well, do your responsibility. You know, and we're waiting to see what happens in the courts if he's going to be allowed to keep up all his razor wire and the buoys and all these other things. But Texas is trying to hold the line, not just for Texas, for the whole country. And the Biden administration, you can't make it up. They're like bogging them down with every single lawsuit. So they're trying. But I think it really takes a change in the White House of somebody who cares about our border and cares about our national security. That's the sad reality, because otherwise they're just going to get dragged back in court left and right. And that's a sad place to be when you should be focused on protecting the homeland. That's for sure. Let's go to Jim, line four. Jim, your thoughts.
Hi, Rita. It is like a bad movie that we're living through. You know, Trump upset their apple cart so much that they're doing everything they possibly can that he'll never get back in there again. Biden is just a... He's a corrupt installed puppet that they have in their back pocket, but the puppet's starting to fall apart, and they don't know what to do.
Yeah,
I don't
that's think the problem. Do you think he's going to last?
No,
I mean, do you think they're going to say, "Let's put somebody else in his place"?
They're going to drag him across the finish line to the Democratic convention and then install somebody else. They're going to have to, because they could barely hold him together now. You know, barely hold. Just think. Just think of the danger we're in. 9/11 happened with 19 Saudis and box cutters. We got millions coming across the border who we have no idea. And Iran is flush with money. Think about that.
Yeah, it's a sad play. And, you know, sadly, as you probably know, Jim, I mean, Iran, there's so much intelligence out there coming from U.S. side and Israeli side that Iran is planning something big against Israel. And it may be Iran, or it might be one of their proxy groups like Hamas or Hezbollah or the Houthis. But it seems like something major, major is in the works. And you're right. And we have somebody who clearly who can't even read a cue card. I mean, put that in perspective, given just the threats that we're facing and that our allies are facing. 1-800-848-9222. And you're listening to The Rita Cosby Show. We'll continue after the break.
It's The Rita Cosby Show. This is The Rita Cosby Show.
And coming up in the next hour, everybody, Biden throwing Israel under the bus. We're going to talk about that. Plus, crime in America. Mayor Adams says, we're the safest big city in America. And yet they won't even stiffen penalties for those tied with retail theft and going after retailers. Florida is taking a cue on that. Florida seems to be leading the way on squatter issues and on that. Boy, New York won't even do the basics, it seems, with leadership in New York. And that is not good for all of us. And also a wild case. For the first time in American history, parents have been not only charged, but convicted and sentenced to prison, tied to a mass shooting done by their child. We're going to talk about the responsibility that parents and others do that they need to have when their child has mental illness, talks about threatening themselves and other people. Don't you think that parents and others need to take responsibility? There's some people saying that this is a slippery slope and that it opens the door. And yeah, there is a little bit of a slippery slope to this. But guess what? If parents suddenly have guns laying around and you know your kid is troubled and you make it easy and accessible for them, throw the book at them. That's my feeling. And I want to hear your take on that too as well. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Plus, the border is a mess. And now Biden hinting he may have some epiphany and do an executive order. Maybe the epiphany are the tanking poll numbers, especially when it comes to the issue of border. And he knows, even though he's trying to fight off, apparently the White House doesn't want Joe Biden to do a debate with Trump. What a surprise. Can you imagine? Trump would eat his lunch. What is Joe Biden going to say? Oh, you know, we tried to open the border. We tried to do this at the border. We tried to do that, but you wouldn't let us. And Trump would be like, nah. You need one of those buttons that are like, that's not true. Beep, beep. You know, it would go off 24/7. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to BJ. BJ, your thoughts.
Hey, Rita, you know, this is intentional. Make no mistake about it. When you let 10 million people into this country and you gaslight people and said, don't know what this is about. And then you try and be a tough guy when you've let 10 million people and talk tough like Eric Adams did and like Biden's trying to. This is intentional. They want to stay in power forever. So they break the border. They get in illegals to vote themselves benefits forever. And there goes your two-party system. So if you're stupid enough to vote for a Democrat, you deserve what you get. You want to be like Stan or Russ, keep voting for Democrats. You're going to wind up living in your own basement and not being able to come out. You see the violence in the streets. You see women can't even go to a church in the morning without getting assaulted. These Democrat politicians, they live under armed guard. They live in gated communities. They don't mind anything that we have to shovel through. But what's really happening, in my opinion, is they're pushing people to a flashpoint, and this is not going to work out well.
Yeah, really I agree. Isn't. I agree. I mean, you know, I can't imagine it getting any worse. And the gaslighting is also so insulting. It's like, what problems? This is the safest big city. Forgive me, that's not correct. Nobody feels it. And trying to pretend like it doesn't happen isn't going to make it go away unless you change policies. And that means admitting that their policies are wrong and they're destructive. And I don't think they're at that self-reflection part yet, BJ, sadly, which is sad for all of us. Let's go to Mike real quick. Mike, your thoughts from South Carolina.
Well, I'll try to be a Southern gentleman, Rita.
Just like Nathan Wade and Fannie Willis, right?
Yeah. You know, it's really something, the press corps at the White House, unbelievable. You know, I was watching that Univision, you know, interview and this and that. And you know, Biden comes out and he goes, are you going to yell at the same time? And he just, if he doesn't have a teleprompter or everything scripted, his, you know, stream of consciousness is not a stream of consciousness.
Yeah,
I
agree.
I like when you say it's word salad. Word salad.
Yeah, word salad. A tossed word salad. Not even like, you know, like a nice proportioned one. Like one that's sort of thrown up against the wall. And you bet every time that he talks, his team is like, oh, no, let's see what's going to happen now.
America, we are endowed by our creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.